Welcome back once again, the Fortress of Faith, the Constantinople of Common Sense, the Parish of the Patriots. Yes, I just made that up right as we started. I thought it sounded kind of clever. Glad you could join us this week. If you're new, first time maybe listening, about halfway mark of the show, somewhere in there, we do have a Christian-specific message, a sermon, if you will. So look forward to that. Even if you're not a Christian believer, you probably, maybe, might get something out of it. But anyway, yes, glad you could join us this week. We don't have ads. We don't have paywalls. We do have voluntary financial support of the show. It is very much appreciated. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. I really do appreciate it. Thank you, man. That was my Bill Clinton imitation, by the way, for those of you who might care. You can find that information at the bottom of the description page. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We got Monero. If you got another cryptocurrency, drop me an email because my email is down there as well. And I can more than likely get you an address for that. So don't hesitate. Always good to hear from you. Speaking of which, let's dive right into the listener supporter mailbag. And we've got two this week. It's kind of skinny again in the listener supporter mailbag. And the second one I'm saving for the Christian specific message. It's going to kick off our sermon this week. So we just have one to get the show going. Greetings, Grandpa. Nothing much to say. Too busy trying to dodge the vax mandate and staying employed. Hope all is well with you and yours, Jackie. Very much appreciated. And it is. It's going to get harder. We're seeing the expansion. And it is obvious as we look at the insane measures that are being taken around the world. Australia has gone full insanity. Well, at least my understanding is the eastern part, I believe, of Australia. It's gone full insanity. And they're going to implement that everywhere. We see it creeping in here. They're trying to figure out how to implement the craziness. These vaccine mandates, they just keep on pushing and pushing, see what they can get away with. They're just pushing. And that's not the only area. I mean, we're under this constant attack everywhere in our lives. And they just keep pushing. I touched on it a week or so back, the Biden administration, because, it's an entity of its own, they came up with this thing, that they were going to basically monitor any bank account with like a transaction, like $600, every transaction for like $600. Now, mind you, they told us this was in the name of making sure the billionaires weren't hiding all their money in offshore accounts. It was a stupid and absurd assertion to make, but that is the excuse they gave. We're going to monitor your bank accounts. Well, they've backed off of that. I saw where they backed off of that a little bit. And as usual, they're trying to be tricky about it. I said, oh, no, okay, we're not going to do $600. Don't worry. It's only going to apply to accounts $10,000 of transactions. And this isn't going to apply to regular wage earners, which is nonsensical. Now, they're being deceptive, and let me tell you why. Because you have to listen to the weasel words. You see, they've already got it on the books. They've had it on the books for what, probably 30 years, that any like deposit of $10,000 or more gets reported to the IRS. That's been on the books for 30 years. So what are they saying here? They're just going to enforce something that's already been there. No. You have to listen to the weasel words in transactions. Now, your idea, the reason they're trying to slip this around is when they said $600, everybody's like, what? You're just going to micromanage everybody's bank account. Is that $10,000 in transactions? You're like, well, I want no $10,000. Transactions, plural. So in other words, you're a regular working guy. Say you're paying a mortgage. Mortgage $1,000 a month. Guess what? In 10 months, you've already hit that. That didn't even count in all your groceries and everything. Transactions, plural. So in 10 months, just your mortgage payments get you to the magical $10,000 threshold. And to say, oh, well, this isn't going to apply to regular wage earners. How are they going to differentiate that? What this is about, and I was thinking about this just yesterday. I'm recording this show on Saturday. I was thinking about this yesterday. Because I coupled this with, they're putting these things out because they're starting to merge this stupid climate change agenda with the virus agenda. They're just all kind of merging on to the highway to hell. You're trucking down on the virus agenda and we're hauling ass down the freeway on the virus agenda. And you look over here and there's an on-ramp and it's like, who the hell is that coming onto the on-ramp? It's climate change. Climate change is on the on-ramp. They're going to bring it in right with us. We're going to be riding down the highway to hell with the virus agenda and the climate change agenda. Read a story the other day. They're talking about, we have to end. We have to basically end the cattle industry. They framed it. How did they call it? Like factory cattle raising. I've been around farming and ranching the better part of my life, and I have no idea what the hell they're even talking about. And the only thing I could think about when it comes to cattle would be like feedlots. But cows are only in there a short time. They get basically fattened up, you know, before they go sold off to go be meat. Oh, we got to tackle this. We basically want to attack the food industry. Attack the food industry. They want to monitor your accounts. And we all know, I mean, it's stupid to say they're doing this in the name of stopping billionaires from moving their money to offshore accounts. We know that's stupid. What does it look like? They want us broke, poor, and hungry. When I read the article about calling for essentially getting rid of the beef industry, getting rid of, you know, basically being able to eat meat, I guess you're supposed to have the bugs. But I was thinking, you know, the Bolsheviks did Holodomor 1.0. Are we looking at a 2.0 here? Are we above that? At the very least, it appears pretty obvious to me they want you broke, dependent on them, and hungry, barely getting enough food. Because this whole thing about the transactions, this isn't about tax money. We all know, we talked about that when we touched on this last time with the $600 thing. It's not about tax money. They're never going to pay the debt anyway. That's irrelevant. It's about control. And what does it mean? It means shutting down any sort of side hustles. This is about people that are trying to hustle, trying to do a little better for themselves. They don't want you doing better for yourself. It's an amazing thing to say, but they literally do not want you doing better for yourself. Think about this. You know, if your grandma gives you $1,000 to help you out with your living expenses while you go to college, that gets reported. They want you mad, or they want you afraid. If you get a little side job, you're mowing lawns and you manage to make $500 in a month with your side hustle mowing lawns. See, they want to make you, it ain't about the tax money. It's about making you afraid to do that. Well, if I do that, they're going to watch my account and they're going to know. And so I'm afraid to do that. I guess I'll just be a wage slave. That's it. I'll know better for myself. Oh, wait, I can't be a wage slave because they shut the economy down again because there's a virus and we're destroying the planet. Couple all of this control in with you're dependent on them to get your monthly booster shot, which apparently is where we're headed with this. Can you believe they're at this whole thing now? We're mix and match. Why, if you've had two Pfizers, get a Moderna. And if you've had a Johnson & Johnson, get another Johnson & Johnson. Or maybe try the Pfizer out. We've lived our entire lives with doctors warning us, you know, not to mix our medications. You remember that? Don't mix your medications. Don't take these pills and drink alcohol. It could have adverse effects, like you never wake up. And now these supposed experts are saying, mix and match away. Take the mystery shots. You got some Pfizer, try the Moderna. You might like the buzz better. You have a little Johnson & Johnson. Maybe just mix them all up. Good stuff. Take your monthly vaccine booster, or you're going to die, I guess. I don't know. You know, and you're broke and you're poor. The only money you got is what gets deposited into your government account, which is probably tied to your vaccine status. And you're hungry. Nobody affords meat anymore. Just living on, I don't know, bugs, grass out in the yard. I don't know what the hell, you know. It's insane. It's insane where they're going with all of this. But they're trying to go there, nonetheless. I don't know. It's all crazy. I tell you what, we all know that that shit libs can't meme. You know, I mean, that's been a long standing thing. You know, shit libs, they can't meme. It still holds true. Just on a whim, the other day, I typed in, you know, vaccine memes into DuckDuckGo and looked through images, and wasn't anything really spicy there. But what was amazing to me is there were shit lib vaccine memes, and they're really, really bad. I just, you know, I've been off social media for what seems like forever now, and their memeing has not gotten any better. I remember when it was bad, but it's really bad because the vaccine memes from shit libs basically amount to do what the government tells you or you're stupid. That is what they amount to. Do what you're told or you're stupid and you're probably going to die. Ha! It's really bad. How much humor there is. People are completely without humor. If you think, if you don't grasp, if you want to just really grasp how without humor, how humorless shitlibs are, when and it's so illustrated when they do try to do humor, just tune in just for just as long as you can. It probably won't be more than 5 minutes. You know, tune in to something like Colbert, Stephen Colbert on TV at night. You'll manage maybe 5 minutes of it and you'll be like, this is supposed to be funny. They don't do funny because their jokes all basically amount to like their memes. Do what the government tells you or you're stupid. And it's the same thing over and over. They don't have Trump anymore. And when Trump was in there, they just did Orange Man Bad over and over. Some variation of Orange Man Bad, Orange Man Stupid. But now Orange Man's not there. So now it's just basically do whatever the government tells you or you're stupid. You're going to die. What else has been in the news? I was thinking of other things in the news. As you can tell, I'm doing my best not to make the show just about coronavirus. And I'm trying to keep it spicy, keep it interesting. Oh, big news this week. While you're all broke, you know, while you're all broke and they're shutting your business down and it's hard to find a job that pays anything besides minimum wage, the big news was this company. I'd never heard of this company before. Maybe it's because I'm not a woman. Was it Spanx? This company, Spanx, and it just sounds vulgar to me. Spanx, and apparently it's like some kind of underwear company or something. I guess they make them ugly spandex thing. It's supposed to make you look less fat or something, you know. Instead of losing weight, you put this on and it just sucks. Back in my day, we called that a girdle, by the way, you know. And back in Victoria times, they called it a corset. But now it's a new thing. You put these on and you look less fat. Bitch, lose some weight and you won't be fat. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. This company, Spanx, why, it's great to know that this woman, this Sarah Blakely, she supposedly started this company with only $5,000. And look, she's now inked a deal with Blackwater. And the company's magically now worth $1.2 billion. Just see, you're a loser. You're a loser because, you know, you're watching your standard of living go down. Why couldn't you be like Sarah Blakely? She started with just a measly $5,000 and now $1.2 billion. Thank you. I'm sorry, Blackstone. I said that wrong. Blackstone. $1.2 billion just overnight. See, you losers. You too could have come up with underwear worth with $5,000, start your underwear company and now be worth $1.2 billion. It's just because you're losers. Of course, you know, she's already happens to be married to a rich guy. Yeah. Who happens to be Jewish, but I'm sure that doesn't have anything to do with it. But see, she's just magically now a billionaire, while you not so well, not so much. It's all nonsense, and it is like this, of course, attack on reality. You're not going to start, you know, a girdle company with $5,000 and, you know, just like magic, blink, wake up one day and you've got some private equity firm offering you $1.2 billion. They're telling you your company is now magically, for unknown reasons, worth $1.2 billion. That's not going to happen to you. They put this out because they're trying to get people thinking like you can still do this, you know, because there was a time, you know, there was a time people believed they could, and they could. They could start off with an idea and they could come up and get a company started in their garage, and that company could grow, and then it's like the American dream. And they want you to think that you can still do that. And if you're not doing that, it just means you're a loser. It just means that you haven't figured out you're stupid. You're stupid. That's why your standard of living is going down. But like this woman here, she was already in the game. I mean, she's already married to a rich guy, like owns a sports team and shit. You know, I mean, come on. You're not in the game. She didn't come up with $5,000 and start a company and now it's $1.2 billion because she's so smart. She already had the connections. She's married to a Jewish millionaire. I mean, come on. She's got the connections. You're not going to have the connections. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And they they promote this idea. I don't know. Are they gaslighting us? You know, are they just trying to gaslight you? They're just trying to make you think that somehow if you try a little harder, you too are going to be rich, as, you know, the economy and the society and everything collapses in on itself. If you just try a little harder, it'll just, you too, It's also ridiculous. It's just, it's also ridiculous. And yet they keep promoting this stuff. They keep pushing it. They just keep putting it in our faces. Anyway, I thought it was funny. The media is basically presenting it to you as it's the classic rags to riches story, only without the rags. Bitch was already rich. She's just more rich. More rich now. It's, you know, meanwhile, they criticize, you know, I read to where, you know, one of our number one enemies against the democracy and the freedom in the world being China. And of course, you know, China, I read that, you know, they're cracking down, you know, regulating because they say that, you know, as their economy is growing at this ungodly, like retarded rate, you know, the prosperity needs to be shared with all the people so there can be a stable society, which is indeed the opposite of what we have here in the land of freedom and democracy, where all of the money just gets funneled into the hands of just this small group of people and everybody else just stays broke. But no, they're definitely the bad guys. I saw they were pushing. Yeah, it's like they're trying to keep the facade up. You know, they I saw a story the other day and they were hyping, like, I think it was in, I don't remember if it was Virginia or somewhere, you know, oh, everybody's got their eye on this governor's race, it's a dead heat. And I'm thinking, all they're promoting is the idea that voting is a thing, you know, that it matters, that voting is actually going to change something. Which team are you betting on? Which team, who's your sports team? You know, is it the Cowboys or is it the Steelers? You know, is it, I don't know, the Giants or the Patriots? Who's your sports team? Is it Team D? Is it Team R? Of course, you get the same results at the end of the day. I mean, it amazes me that there are still people after the blatant, I mean, yeah, come on. Is it, I guess I'm going to get accused of fake news, you know, accused of spreading disinformation to point out that what everybody knows. That this, you know, the 2020 election, the Trump election thing was a complete hoax. I mean, we know this. They know that. I mean, I have to believe that even shit libs that worship authority and doing everything the government tells them to do, deep down, they know it. They're just like snickering because they feel like they're a part of it. Like they were part. They're not. But you got your average Twitter shit lib and they're snickering because they think they're a part of the power structure. Maybe that's why they get off on it so much, you know, when they put up shitty memes, you know, do what the government tells you or you stupid. Because they feel like they're a part of that power structure. By supporting it, that means they're a part of it. It means they share in the power. If you think of really like a really cowardly, weak person, but yet they run around kissing ass to the bully, you know, and they run around and whenever the bully kicks somebody's ass, then like after the bully walks off and they're like, ha, that's what you got. You got fired from your job. Ha, loser. Woo, that's right. Don't mess with me. And they go chasing after, sucking up, kissing the bully's ass. That's how these shit libs are. That's why they worship authority. They're cowards. They run around. They sniffle. They can't do anything on their own, but they got the bully. The bully doesn't care about them. The bully's just looking for an excuse to beat somebody up that's weaker than them. And when this person can run around, hey, look at this guy. Look at this guy. Huh? Huh? And they're like, yeah, I'll kick his ass. So it is. That's why they get off on this. Do whatever the government tells you or else. Do whatever the bully tells you or else. They hate anybody that stands up to them because they're cowards. And I've said this before, but the one thing a coward hates, they cannot tolerate, is people who aren't cowards, because it reminds them that they're sniveling cowards. They really are. They try to put up a front, try to pretend they're so brave. And what are they brave about? They're just running around saying, do whatever those in authority tell you to do. And, you know, I mean, how is that brave? How is that bucking the system? They try to pretend that they share. And that power structure makes them feel powerful on some level or another. But anyway, everybody knows the election was hoaxed. Nobody really in their right mind, rationally thinking, thinks that Joe Biden's the most popular person to ever run for president. And yep, what? They're trying to keep people buying into the system. Look at this race. It's a big close one. The Democrats might lose. Will it matter if the Democrats lose? That's what you're not supposed to answer. I'm sure it's a well-vetted Team R candidate. He's not going to buck the system. Team R might pull it off. Don't you care? I can't believe that there's still people buying into the idea that they're going to vote. They're going to vote and change it. They're going to vote and change it. We just got to vote harder. I mean, they're boarding up windows and throwing out the election observers. I don't know how much more you need. And I hate it that the people that were like at the forefront of Trump's thing contesting the election were going off on this shit about the voting machines and, you know, oh, the voting machines were, I don't know, linked to China or some weird tangents. I mean, all you got to do is point to the video of them boarding up the window and throwing out the election observers and saying, well, we're doing it because there's a virus. I mean, all you got to do is point to that. I mean, what more do you need? Oh, we got video of them bringing in boxes of ballots. We got videos of them filling ballots out. Don't believe your lying eyes. Believe those enough. Hype. Big governor's race. Who's going to vote? Who's going to win? Cheer on your sports team. I don't understand people that are still like, I don't know. I guess they don't have anything else. You know, don't have anything else. We'll just vote harder. Maybe this time we'll vote so hard that they won't be able to fraud it. Which, of course, if it matters, if you like had the weird, most of the time it doesn't matter. They don't need to fraud it. And that's what gets lost, I think, in some of this confusion is because, you know, they fraud every election. No, they don't. They don't have to. Because under normal circumstances, you have the hand-picked Team R candidate and you have the hand-picked Team D candidate. Both belong to the regime. They're just vying for who's going to get promoted to middle manager. I mean, neither one of them are going to get kicked out. I mean, whoever loses will get some other cushy position in middle management. Just won't be quite as high up. It's just a competition. Who can grovel before the regime hard enough? Who's going to win? I mean, when you've got two handpicked regime candidates, they don't have to rig the vote. They just make sure that the candidates are people you pick. Now, in the off chance that somebody they didn't pick, then yes, they'll be as absurd as saying the most popular man that's ever run for president in the history of the world is this senile guy that doesn't know where he is. He's probably wearing Depends because he doesn't know where he's at. He's the perfect puppet. But you get people believing, oh, we're going to vote. Well, forget for a minute. Like, if you did happen to get somebody who wasn't handpicked, they'll just fraud it out. But most of the time, there's safeguards in place. They're going to make sure. They're going to make sure that you get a handpicked candidate. And then they don't have to fraud. They don't have to worry about it. I don't care which team wins, D or R. Everybody gets hung up. This is all about the Democrats. The Democrats just want to make sure they can win every election. No, the regime always wins every election. It doesn't matter which candidate gets in. But we're going to vote. We're going to vote and turn the country around. The best vote you can make, the best vote you can make is to not vote at all because it makes a statement. I guess they could just lie and fraud and say 100% of the country turned out to vote. It would be absurd, but, you know, we've already seen that no level of absurdity is beyond the realm of possibility when it comes to these people. But if you make the statement that I'm not going to vote, if they have hold an election and like nobody turns out, that's the most profound statement you can make with your vote. It's always funny when you talk to people that haven't been like keeping up with this trajectory, you know, and now that things have gotten really bad, now they realize that something's wrong and they can't help but to have this mindset like the system's broken. Like, oh, my gosh, I woke up today and I'm in clown world. I've been following it like most of us have for years, even decades. Haven't been following it. They don't understand. They just, it finally got so over the top and so undeniably absurd that now they woke up and they realize that something's wrong and they don't know. They don't know how to understand it in the context because this has been decades in coming about. They just woke up and it's like, oh my gosh, Joe Biden is ruining the country. There's something wrong with the system. The system is broken. I told somebody recently, I pointed out to them, I'm like, you have to understand, you can't fix the system because the system's not broken. If you've got a machine and it's operating the way it's supposed to, how are you going to fix it? The machine isn't broken. The system isn't broken. The system is working as designed. It's just that we were told our whole lives that this system, the democracy, it's government by the people, for the people. We were told that from the time we were in little kids. You know, we used to, when I was a kid, because I'm older than most of y'all, I was a kid, you know, we used to watch Saturday morning cartoons. That was the only time cartoons were on. You're watching Super Friends and shit. And they always had that thing, those like little PSA things that come on to talk you about, you know, how the system works, the democracy, the freedom, you know. And plus like little spelling words. if you can remember, Conjunction Junction, what's your function? Remember Conjunction Junction? Yes, those PSAs. And if you're not my age, you don't remember that shit. Don't worry about it. You don't have to go look it up. But we were told our whole lives, the democracy, this system is people. This is the difference. We have the freedom because the government answers to the people, not the people to the government. It was all a lie. Okay. And people have a hard time accepting that. The system works. It is a government by the people and for the people. Now, that part is technically true. It's just for certain people. And you ain't it. Just like you ain't going to start an underwear company with $5,000 and wake up one day and some investment firm says, here's you over $1 billion. That's not going to happen to you. It's for those people. It's for the rich. It's for the corporations. That's who the system works for. It's for the people. They're people. Remember, we were told corporations are people too. The system works as designed. When you understand the design of the system, then you understand how these things work out. When they pass something and it's like people think they want it. I always go back to California, of all places, California, years ago, when all of the gay marriage thing just was getting ginned up. They passed the people voted, the people spoke, they did a proposition and the people voted and they said no gay marriage in California. And when you understand how the system works, you say, oh, the courts will just throw that out because that's the court's job. If something slips past the democracy end of it, for some reason, by hook or crook, then it's just the court's job to come in and say that doesn't count. They had a deal here just recently, you know, people fighting against the vaccine mandates, you know, and they're filing lawsuits. And you hear these governors say, I'll fight Biden's vaccine mandate. They're not. If they were really going to fight it, they would just say, well, we ain't doing it. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the courts say. What they mean is, we'll go to court. We'll file suits. See, they're playing along with the game. They know how the game works. We're fighting it. That way they can tell their constituents, see, we're fighting the Biden administration. We're going to the courts. We all know how the court's going to come out. They just had a case, the Supreme Court refused to hear a vaccine mandate case. And people were shocked. Oh, shocking news. The court refused to hear the case. Of course, the shit libs giggle with glee. Because it feels like a win for them because they're following the bully around. Ha! See? The court just says you're stupid too. It's all a game. The courts, that we're going to fight this. You go to the court, and when the court says, oh, the regime can do whatever they want to, then you go and say, well, we tried hard. You have to vote harder next time so we can get better justices on the Supreme Court. Remember that stupid argument? Heard that one for years. Well, our candidate may be really shitty. He may be the shittiest of Team R, but think about the Supreme Court nominees. We got to have Supreme Court nominees. And you have these Republicans, and they point these assholes to the Supreme Court. Of course, they're well vetted. They're vetted all right. They're vetted for the regime. They put on these show hearings and, oh, this person, they're outrageous. We can't have them get in there. And people feel like, oh, see, the shit libs really don't want this guy in here. They're accusing him of being a rapist. And we know it's bullshit. Oh, we can't have. And then they get in there. And what do? They always rule for the regime. They rule for the system. The agenda moves forward. They never stop it. I mean, there are a few solid guys. Clarence Thomas is probably the most solid guy. Yes, the black guy is the most solid guy on the Supreme Court. I know it makes shit libs' brains explode for me to point out reality. You're supposed to hate all black people. The black judge, Clarence Thomas, is the most solid guy on the Supreme Court. But other than that, the rest of them are shills. The rest of them just roll over and always vote for the regime. It's predictable. You can count on it like clockwork. People are confused. The system is broken. The system is doing as it's designed. And when you understand that, you can quit buying into this idea that you're going to vote harder and change it. Someone's going to file a lawsuit. We're going to release the Kraken. I laughed. I laughed. We're going to release. We've got the documents. We've got the proof. Good luck with that. Turned out just about like I figured. We had to fix it. Why would you want to fix a system that's destroying you? Why would you want to do that? We're going to fix it. We got to fix it. We got to fix it. It's like if you I don't know, if you had a car going in the wrong direction, taking you were on the bus and it's going the opposite direction of you want to go. And you're like, we got to pool our money together and put more diesel in the bus so we can keep going. But it's taking you the wrong way. Of course, inevitably, you talk to these people, and if it sinks in, if, and it's a big if it sinks in, then they'll say, then what do you propose? You don't have any, but you're just bitching. No, I'm not bitching. I'm pointing out reality. I'm not, I'm far away from bitching about it. I just understand the people bitching are those that don't understand. They're frustrated. They're angry. They don't understand why it's working. They thought this system was supposed to be working for them. Those of us who for a long time have understood that's not the way the system works, we're not mad. We just understand. We're not bitching and complaining. We're just pointing out reality. Now, what do you propose? What do you propose? Well, what I propose is that this thing is going to, you're watching it come apart in front of you. You kind of have the attitude that Russia and China have, which is basically just stand back and let them finish eating themselves. You just not be sure that you don't get eaten in the chaos. It's destroying yourself. We got you have some guy out there who wants to go full, you know, full radical. We got to take this system down. Why? It's taking itself down. And it's doing a hell of a lot better job than you are. Running around in your camos in the woods, pretending like you're a soldier or something. I mean, what the hell? You know, it's taking itself down. People, you can't get gaslit. These people are not really very competent. I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, you know, talking about these things, and they're nodding their head, and I say, you know, the good news is, it's a really complicated plan that they're trying to put in place. They've already hit several hiccups in the plan, and they obviously, observably, don't know how to deal with those hiccups. And they're, at the end of the day, not very competent. They're not very competent in implementing a really complicated plan. If you had a moron in charge of putting in a really complicated computer program to launch a rocket, more than likely, that sumbitch ain't getting off the pad, or it's going to explode when it does. Yes, they have this really evil agenda that I right now, from where I'm sitting, looks like you're supposed to be broke and probably starving to death. You know, they have a really evil agenda going to in really dark places. The good news is they're pretty stupid and the plan is really complicated. A lot of things have to come together and some of those things haven't come together for them already. They've already run into roadblocks and they obviously don't know how to deal with them. That's why you see them lashing out here and flailing around there. All hope is not lost. It's eating itself. The system is eating itself. You just got to figure out a way to survive it. You got just to figure out a way to keep you and your family and those around you and your community out of the way of the machine so it doesn't run you over. Like I said, look at Russia and China. The U.S. just spends all their time trying to stir some kind of conflict up with them. It doesn't make any sense. It can't make any sense. Nobody on the planet thinks the U.S. could win a war against Russia and China. Nobody thinks that. And yet it's like they're trying to pick a war. Why? Because they're not competent. Their plan requires it to be a world government, a global, a one world thing. When they opened up China to trade, that was supposed to open up China to Western liberalism, to the democracy. And China instead took the trade and said, we'll go ahead and take the factories and the manufacturing, grow our economy. But as far as that world thing, you can stick it up your ass. We're not doing that. It was a wrench in the plan. It's not the way it was supposed to work. Back in the 90s, they thought they had Russia took care of. Russia was basically run by oligarchs, strip mining the economy. Russia was a non-issue. Then Putin came to power. And now Russia is a wrench in the works. Because it has to be, none of these countries are without their own problems, ideal in reality, not in like fantasy and oh, yes, they have everything figured out. They don't, nobody has everything figured out. But they have stated, these two, significant powers have stated they're not going along with the global regime. They're not going along with the Great Reset. They're not doing it. And it has to be worldwide, and they don't know how to deal with it. So you have them try to, like, randomly, okay, this week we'll take a destroyer and try to sail it into Russian waters and make them threaten to fire on us and then turn away at the last minute. It doesn't make any sense because they don't know what to do. The plan required everybody being on board. Well, you got two major players that say, no, we're not doing that. See, it's all it takes. Like I said before, all these governors that say we're going to fight any max. No, all they have to say is we're not doing it. We don't care what you demand. We don't care if the Supreme Court says you have to do it. We're not going to do it. What are you going to do about it? You going to send the military to Texas? You going to send the military to Florida to enforce it? We don't think you will. That's what fighting looks like. No, we're not doing it. Russia and China said, no, we're not doing that. And they don't know what to do. take heart. They're not very competent. They don't have all the answers. I get so tired of people that act like these people, there's a regime, these oligarchs, they run everything. They're super competent. It always goes their way. You're gaslit. You're listening to the media the same as the shit libs that say they believe the experts that the media presents to them. I believe the science that the media presents to me. The media is trying to present this narrative that they always get what they want. These people always get what they want. Everything's always going to go their way. And people soak that up. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter what we do. They're always going to get their way. No, they don't always get their way. It's a complicated plan. They're stupid. They're not very competent. It's probably not going to work. You look around here. It'll just look around. This thing is coming apart. The system is in the process of taking itself down. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be bad. But it's in the long run, it's probably the best thing you could hope for. Best thing you could hope for. I think the dollar is eventually going to zero. This is my belief. The dollar is going to zero. It's going to make things really, really hard for people, for a lot of people. But at the same time, you have to understand, instead of saying, oh, man, that can make my life really bad. Instead, you need to understand that this is where they get their power from. This is the key elements in which they get their power from. If that is taken away from them, then their power is taken away from them, just like that. That's why they're trying to establish this new order, this great reset, because they know that too. If they're still stuck in the current paradigm of the dollar is our strength, the dollar is our power, this is how we wield power. Your power comes from being able to order men with guns to enforce your will. But if you don't have a way to pay the men with guns, then nobody's going to do anything, you say, and your power is gone. If they stay stuck in this paradigm, when it collapses, because we're at the end of the run, that the way this scheme works, then they're going to be left out in the cold. That's why they're trying to do this new thing. They're trying to set up this new system so they remain ensconced in power. And again, the big players know this. Russia, China, they know this. That's why they appear to have, you know, you've got all these provocations being put out there by the U.S. against these countries. And it's like they have the patience of Job. You know, they just sit back and it's just like, oh, well, you know, they release some press release and people are like, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? They should just sink the U.S.'s ship. They don't need to do that. They just sit back and watch as it all comes apart. When the dollar continues to collapse, and we're seeing that now. And I got to wrap up. We got to get into the Christian specific message because I can't get into it now. I should have, but as the dollar collapses, now they're doing this whole contrived supply chain thing. The whole order is breaking down. When the dollar finishes collapsing and is no longer any kind of world reserve currency and they can't wield the power, if they haven't established their great reset by then, they're stuck. Don't worry about taking down the regime. It will be, their power will vaporize. This is where they wield their power from. This is why they're so desperate to enact their great reset program. Again, if they're stuck in this current paradigm with the dollar is their strength, the dollar is the source of their power. And you know, when it runs to the end of it, and we're getting close to the end of it, I don't know how I would say close, or I'd say within 10 years for sure. If they're still stuck in that and they haven't been able to set up this new system that they have come up with, which is overly complicated and stupid, then they're going to be left out in the cold. Now, who knows? They might try to come up with an alternate system when finally they admit that this idea isn't going to work. But we just have to cross that bridge when we get there. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, and I say this all the time, and like I said, we got to wrap up. But at the end of the day, just remember this. You still got to live your life. You know, do the best you can. Try to make your life a little better. If you can make a few bucks here, a few bucks there, do it. You know, if you can try to better your life, you know, go out and enjoy outdoors. Go do something with your family. You know, life doesn't stop with this stuff. The stuff just, it is. It's bigger than you, but you still got to live your life. You get one time around on this rock, thank goodness. And you know, you got to make the most of it. You got to make the best of it while you can. You know, you can't get so hung up and so, you know, just caught up in it. You know, just your life goes on. These things are going to play out. And this is where, as a Christian believer, faith comes in. You know, all this, God already knows how this all plays out. You know, he already has that figured out. We do what we can. And in the big scheme of things, it is all going to work out one way or the other. Anyway, we got to wrap up on that note. head into this week's Christian specific segment. Hopefully you'll stay around for it. If not, thanks for joining us for the other part of the show. But anyway, you know what to do. Let's get in there, fill those pews. Time for this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. So for this week's sermon, we're going to return once again to the listener supporter mailbag. Dear GPD, happy to find some time once again to thank you for the excellent shows you produce faithfully each week to keep us sane and safe from the demonic possession of the establishment. Always look forward to hearing your wise and honest takes on current issues, coupled with the non-syrupy sermons to increase our relationship with God and therefore with truth itself. Your recent statement that God should be seen as just rather than merely loving was very profound. Well, thank you very much. Sermon suggestion, the survival of the traditional uncut Christian family in current clown world. What are God's teachings on specific roles for men and women, along with their children, to follow and obey? In the Western world, nothing has been more violated and corrupted than the family unit to something that's barely recognizable from the past 50 years. Take good care, and please keep spreading the faith. God bless Phil, and I appreciate it very much from Phil. And very good stuff. I actually, this was one of the rare times I had some other ideas jotted down for our Christian-specific message this week. And then I got the sermon request, and I'm looking at it. I was going to put it off and say, well, we'll, you know, maybe we'll cover this next week. But then I got to looking at what I had it jotted down, and I'm like, no, actually, I can kind of, this all kind of comes together, I think, and I can combine the two. We can hopefully get one really good, hopefully somewhat helpful. We you know, don't want to think more of myself than I ought to. Hopefully we'll get something really good out of it as we work through this together. And you're right, it's going to be, it is currently, and it's going to be even more, I think, difficult times to travail through with your families. The family is the foundational building block of your society, your nation, in a traditional national sense. And then, of course, from your family, you slowly get your extended family, your community, and ultimately the nation. That's how it's supposed to work in normal nations, which by nations I mean, you know, racially homogenous people. Now, obviously, we don't have that. We live in multicultural hellhole. And one of the ways we've gotten there is, you're right, the breaking down and the attacking of the family, because that's the fundamental thing. I mean, if you were tearing something down, if you could tear the foundations off of it, the rest of it'll come crumbling down. So it makes sense. The family's been under attack from many fronts. So we're going to get into that here. We're going to kind of really nail down on this. So bear with me. But you attack the fundamental building block. You want to destroy the bigger thing, the nation, the extended kinship that the people have. And you, one of the fundamental things you're going to attack is the foundation, which is the family. Now, we know our nation is just a complete mess, but we got to get through these times, and they are obviously bad. Yeah, I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it, and they're going to get worse. And it's going to, you know, it's hard now, and it's going to, logic says it's going to get harder, but we got to go through. I mean, we've got to keep traipsing. We got to keep marching forward, I guess, is what I want to say. I think the best way to approach this is, you know, I mean, you think of the family unit as a singular thing, but let's discuss the role that everybody plays. I mean, we want to stay away from, you know, breaking people down to atomizing people. Hyper-individualism is one of the ways they've broke things down. But we're actually going to approach the family unit from an individual, you know, really look at the roles of individual people so that we can understand how it all has to work together. Because we got to understand, because, like I said, this, things are going to get very hard. The unit is, you know, the family unit is under attack. And how is it under attack? Not as a unit, because you're strong as a unit, as the individual members of the family. Just like they tore the nation, they've torn the nation down by individualizing people and attacking the individual things. And then the unit falls apart. The unit falls apart as a whole. So as we think about the role that every person in the family has to play, I think the key here is to get back to basics. I mean, we know what God has outlined, how the roles everybody's supposed to play. And we have to be realistic about what we face and what each other and the family unit is dealing with. So, you know, let's start between the husband and wife, because that's going to be the determining factor. The kids are kind of along for the ride, but they themselves, I mean, there's roles that the children have to play as well, and that you have to understand their point of view on, but we'll get to that in a minute. But let's get into the role between the leaders of the family, because the leaders of the family are going to be the husband and the wife, obviously, and the role they play. Now, the way I always like to think of it, and I've heard it outlined before, when the first one to come up with it, I couldn't tell you where I heard it originally, but the key way to remember to think of the role of husband versus wife is the because somebody's got to be in charge. Well, if you know, people that have the attitude that, oh, we're equal, co-equals in leading the family, you're headed for disaster. If you imagine a ship in the middle of a battle situation or trying to navigate through a sea full of icebergs, and you had two captains on board, at some point in time they're going to give conflicting orders and the crew isn't going to know where to go. If the husband and the wife are in conflict, the children are not going to know where to go. The children are counting on you. Even if we're talking about teenagers here, they're still counting on you for direction. You've got to be that bedrock. You've got to be that solid thing they can count on. Your children are living in a time of upheaval, just the same as you are. You think you're upset about upheaval, uncertainty around you. Imagine what it is for your children. The best thing you can do for your children, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, bear with me, but the best thing you can do for your children is to provide a stable and reassuring, I hate to use the term safe place, but safe space. They need to have predictability. They need to have predictability. You need to be predictable. Routines, especially the younger your children are, if you have young children, routines are young children's, that's what they need. They need predictability. They need to know. And they need to know that if you say, we're going to do this on this day, that you do that. Now, that's just kind of fundamental parenting, but it gets kind of lost in the mix. But in these tumultuous clown world times, that is going to be more important than ever. Because if you send your children off to school, they're going to be exposed to basically constant forms of chaos. They need to know that when they go home, there's predictability. They need to know that when the parents tell them, hey, on Tuesday, we're going to go get ice cream or whatever. It doesn't matter. You need to make sure that happens. They need to have that predictability. They need to be able to count on you. Like I say, that's going to be more important than ever. Now, getting back on topic here, I was already kind of getting ahead of myself. You can't have two captains of the ship, because at some point there's going to be conflicting orders and the crew isn't going to know what to do. And it's going to cause turmoil. For people that have this notion that, oh, we're co-equals and we're co-leaders and co-captains, or what, you're headed for disaster, you cannot have two captains. There is a reason that that's not the way ships operate. The husband has to be the captain. That is what God has outlined. The wife has got to be submits to the husband. Now, women bristle at that. We're going to get to that here in a minute, so bear with me. If you think of it in terms of the husband is the captain and the wife is the second officer, the first mate, the executive officer, she is the XO. It's her role to feed in, to give you her input. And, you know, you need to listen to that. She may have a point. But ultimately, the decision belongs to the husband, and the responsibility for that decision belongs to the husband. That's the role of the captain. The captain doesn't blame it on everybody else, doesn't blame it on the crew when things go sideways. The captain has to take responsibility. But for the captain to take responsibility, he's got to be in charge. That's how it has to work. And that's got to be the mindset of everybody involved. The captain's in charge. The captain's responsibility. And this lets up the burden on your wife, who is the executive officer. This is why it's important that regardless of the decision, you take responsibility for it. Women do not, that's not the role they're meant to take. The traditional role we understand through history and even through our Bibles is that's not the role of women. It's got to be the role of the husband. She has to let him have that responsibility. She has to let him make those decisions, but understand that she's relieved of the responsibility of his decisions. If it turns sideways, it's on him. And this is going to make things easier for the wife, the mother, to where she knows she doesn't get stuck with that burden of responsibility. Because that is not the role that women are geared for. Now, for the husband, You know, how do you bear this? How do you conduct yourself? Because you have to understand, you know, and if you're listening and you're just a single person, you don't have a family, you know, this is probably going to be kind of foreign to you. But this can also apply to you as far as helping you become more the person you want to be. So don't just tune out and say, well, I don't have a wife and kids. This doesn't apply to me. Stick with it, because as we go through the role of, you know, the husband in the family, and I think this will help you as far as, you know, to be a better person, to be more of the man that you want to be. Now, as we break down, you know, okay, you're the husband, you're the leader of the family, you're accepting the role, the responsibility. And again, the wife has to give you that. She has to respect that. She can't sit there and demand that you take another action and try to browbeat you. And then you finally give in to her demands. And then when it goes sideways, she turns around and blames it all on you. You can't have that. And again, we're going to get into how that can kind of come about in a few minutes. But I want to focus in on the role of men in this, because as a leader, as a responsibility, you have to make the decision. You have to make sure it's the decision you want to make. Now, how can you live an upright life as the head of the family, as the leader of the family, the king of your household? If you think of it in terms of you are the king of your household, you know, it's a small kingdom. But you are the king of the household. How do you conduct yourself? And you really break down. I think you have to understand that as you go through your life, I think it's important to really pay attention to what you tell yourself. I was thinking, this gets into kind of what I was thinking about earlier on in the week, to kind of get into in this week's Christian specific segment. But your thoughts, in a way, your thoughts lead to a certain reality, or perhaps a better way to put it is your thoughts create your perception of reality. Well, I mean, we all sit here, everybody basically has like a mental thing that you tell yourself, you know, a conversation you have with yourself in your thoughts. As an example, if you find yourself every day saying, if I only had money, then all of my problems would be solved. If I only had money, I would be happy. Man, I mean, because if you're dealing with money problems, you're going to be focused on money problems. If I only had money, if I just had money, then I could do all the things I want to do. If I just had money, I would have happiness. If I just had money. And what does that do? This creates a perception of reality for you that you cannot attain happiness. You cannot attain any kind of contentment with your life unless you have money. And the only reason you're thinking that is you don't have money. So now that you've created a perception in your own mind that the only way you're going to find happiness, everything would be happy if you had money, but you do not have money, then you create the reality for yourself that you cannot be happy because you have no money, or you do not have the amount of money that you think you need to be happy. This, you think you can internalize it, this will be reflected on everybody around you. They're going to know. They're going to pick up and know this guy's miserable all the time, and it's going to make everybody in your family miserable. When you create this perception in your mind, yeah, you know, I can't be happy unless I have money. Now, this is an example. The thing is, you have mental conversations. You have stuff you tell yourself over and over. If you get up every day and say, I don't feel like going to work. I hate this job. And you tell yourself all the way to work, God, I hate this job. Well, I mean, you may really hate that job. But unless you're going to go find a different job, all you're doing is making yourself miserable. It doesn't change the reality. If you really want to change the reality, then take some action to change that. But what happens is we start just sitting around and thinking, yeah, if only this, if only, and we actually make ourselves more helpless. We don't change the situation. We just sit there and start stewing in this feeling of helplessness. We're not making our lives, but if I, this job sucks, I'm stuck with this job and I got to pay these bills. And if only I had money, I wouldn't have to go to this job. And it becomes a downward spiral. You can't lead like that. You can't be the king of your household like that. You have to change the way you perceive these things. If your job sucks and you really do hate it, then you've got to figure out something else. It might be a complete change of occupation. Of course, this is going to get harder and harder as society collapses. These aren't normal times where we can just say, oh, okay, we'll go find another job. I mean, you know, we're in extraordinary times. I understand that. And if you can't change the situation, then you need to quit telling yourself I'm miserable. The job may not be very good, but you're making it worse by thinking of how terrible it is. One of the hardest things between a husband and wife And I'm going to sound like some, I don't know, just regular run-of-the-mill counselor or something when I say this, but bear with me. One of the hardest things for husbands and wives is to keep the lines of communication open. Now, stick with me, because that on the surface, that just sounds like something you would hear anywhere. You know, you'd read in an article, keep the lines of communication open, and it sounds just so easy. But it's not. The reason it's hard and the reason it's one of the most difficult things for husbands and wives is because it's very difficult. If and we're getting back, we're finally circling back to understanding the Christian aspect of this. We know that Jesus Christ is truth. But how often do we refuse to speak the truth in our own households? If your wife does something that she shouldn't be doing, and you need to rebuke her for it, you need to speak the truth and say, why did you do that? You can't be doing that. But in the back of your mind, you know she's going to raise hell over it. You know, she's going to have a fit when you confront her about it and point out this truth. And so what do? It's not worth the hassle. I'm not dealing with it. I've been at this shitty job all day. I'm tired. I find out she did this, you know, and she shouldn't have done this. She went and spent this money. She shouldn't have spent that money. And now, you know, if I tell her about it and point it out and, hey, why did you do this? Then it's going to lead to a big confrontation. And I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. And it becomes habit forming. And this works both ways. This isn't just for men. Women can do the same thing. It becomes habit forming. I don't want to deal with the conflict, so I'll just bite my tongue. I'm not going to speak the truth in this matter. I'll just hold the truth to myself. I'm not going to speak the truth. And then the next thing that comes along, this too, you bite your tongue because it's just not worth it. And what happens is that all builds up and it becomes habit forming. And see, then you've shut the lines of communication off because you didn't want to deal with the hassle. And both parties have to be willing to hear what they don't want to hear. You know, for women, you know, if your husband tells you, hey, why did you spend that money? You know, your reaction's going to be to get mad and upset. But just answer the question, why did you spend the money? If you went and spent the money on stupid shit, you just got to admit you spent the money on stupid shit. This is what it means to submit to your husband and say, I'm sorry, baby, I went and spent the money on stupid shit. Just get it over with. Because you break down the lines of communication when everybody just holds their tongue to avoid conflict. And what happens is the conflict eventually comes. At some point, the conflict comes, but then it comes in anger. Then it comes in anger. Then you have this big blow up. And because what will happen is you hold your tongue. And then you feel like you can't talk about these things. You can't bring up this truth. You can't say, why did you do this? Unless you're mad. Then finally, you blow, but either or both. Then you blow up. And then everything comes out. 3 months ago, why did you spend that money? You stupid bitch. See, instead of being able to just sit down at the time and say, look, I'm saving that money back. Why did you spend it on the hairdresser? And from the woman's perspective, well, I know I shouldn't have, but I just don't feel like I'm pretty for you anymore, blah, 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 whatever. Instead of that, it's, and 3 months, you blow up over something that winds up being trivial, and then you're bringing everything up. 3 months ago, you stupid bitch, you spent that money. You spent that money, you stupid bitch. And she's like, you sorry bastard, you don't even care anything about me. And now nothing's getting solved. And remember, this affects your children. Got to keep it open. You got to quit biting your tongue. You have to speak these truths. You have to go ahead and work your way through it. That's the way it's hard. Most people, it's so easy. Just say, I don't want to deal with it. We've all been there. But, I mean, you have to try to deal with it. Women, look, I got good news. If you know, for the wife, the mother, and the family, you don't have to bear the responsibility. You know, you're not dodging anything. You're not ducking. That's not the role God has given you. The family decisions are for your husband to make. The good news is you don't have to bear responsibility if it turns out well, if it turns out bad. It's not going to be your fault. It's ultimately his decision. That's the good news. Now, here's the hard news. You have to let him make that decision. It's fine if he says, you know, well, what do you think, baby? And you say, well, I think this, that, or the other. But if he decides to go a different direction, you have to go with that. It's hard. I understand. But you don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to demand what you think and argue and try to browbeat him into going to do with what you do. And then if it goes sideways, then it's all his fault. You don't get, that's not the way it works. If you do not hand that role of authority to your husband, you are in rebellion against God. Not just against your husband, you're in rebellion against God. You have to, as a family unit, everybody involved has to try to avoid being, it all basically comes down to, the question was, well, what about the Christian family in the climate world? And my short answer is, we have to get back to basics. You have to get back to what we all know is spelled out in the Bible. I haven't read anything from the Bible because everybody knows. You understand. Everybody knows what's in there. God's laid out the owner's manual. You have to get back to basics. What does it mean to submit to your husband? It means you give him the responsibility. You get input. He's going to want to hear your input. But you have to let him make that decision. Even if in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I don't know what the hell he's thinking. He don't know what he's doing. What are you talking about? You have to say, okay, well, it's ultimately your decision. It's his responsibility. And that's the good news for you. But you've got to be able to, when he says, nope, I've made up my mind. This is what we're going to do. You've got to let him do that. And you have to respect that. Because that is the order that God has established. So if you rebel against what God has established, you're in rebellion against God. And it's going to cause problems. It always causes problems. As men, we have to understand that women are under this constant barrage to be this influence. We talk about feminism and it sounds just like the ideology, but here's the thing, it's everywhere. Women are constantly exposed to it and they're constantly tempted by it, and they are going to be tempted by it, and they're going to buy into a certain amount of it because it's really inescapable in this world. As Christian believers, as we understand that this is a spiritual conflict around us, it makes perfect sense. This is once again a reaffirmation of our faith. When we look around and all of the things that are attacking the family, these things come down to what? Being in rebellion against God, against what God has established. Our nations are in complete rebellion against God, but you come down and the individual people are in rebellion. We know the roles that God's laid out for us, and we're in rebellion. Women are constantly subjected to this messaging, this feminist message. You can have it all. You are equal. You can do this. You can do that. Make your own mind up, girl. You can, and it's a lie. You can have it all. There's one of the big lies. You can have it all. No, you can't. You can't have it all. Nobody has it all. They're lying to you. It's this constant temptation. Women are subjected to this constant. I'm not letting women off the hook. But I'm saying you have to understand that they're subjected to this constant temptation. You might be the most upright husband and you've been married for however many years and you've tried to be the best husband if you can. But if some young fine thing wants to have sex with you, you may not do it, but you're going to be tempted. It's the same. It's a different thing, but it's the same thing for women. They're constantly subjected. It would be like you constantly, every day, you got fine looking young women wanting to have sex with you. And every day you got to try to turn them down. Women are constantly exposed to the feminist message. It's sometimes subtle, sometimes not, to be in rebellion against God's order. They're constantly, every day, subjected to that. And sometimes they're going to start buying into bits and pieces of it. Back to basics. The answer here is back to basics. You got to get back to the basics of what has got established. There's a hierarchy in the family. When you deal with your wife, when you deal with your children, with the best advice anybody's ever given, and it's a fairly common advice. I'm not saying anything profound here. It's just like when you discipline your children. You should never discipline your children in anger. If they do something that really pisses you the hell off, you best just say, we're going to talk about this later, and you need to cool off. You know, I mean, you don't need to discipline your children while you're angry. You need to chill with that. Same with each other. Same with husbands and wives. You know, if you're going to have, there's going to be times you disagree. And the time to discuss these things is not when you're mad. When you snap and it's like you've had a bad day and now everybody's built up and now, boom, now we're going to talk about it when you're ready to just blow up. It's not the time to discuss that. That's one time you can hold your tongue. Wait until you're calmed down. You've had time to think and reflect on it. Now you can have that conversation. Just like you don't discipline your children, you're not going to have a constructive conversation when you're both mad. Come to recognize that there's temptation everywhere for everybody in the family. Now, if you're sending your kids to school, yes, homeschooling is ideal, but I live in the real world. I understand that some of y'all are just not in a position to do that. I mean, yes, if you can homeschool, especially now we're in insane clown world. I mean, you know, people are talking about you need to homeschool your kids 5 years ago. It seems like ancient history. Well, now, you know, I mean, just name it. From the mask mandates, now they're going to push the vaccines for 5-year-olds and up. I mean, in critical race theory, you know, is your school doing drag queen story? I don't know. But if, you know, if you can homeschool, yes, I would recommend that. If you can't, and even if you can, your children also are going to be subjected to this constant message, which will go, is going to boil down to some form of rebel against your parents, rebel against, you know, the or now. As your kids become teenagers, a certain amount of rebellion. They say rebellion, but it's not necessarily rebellion because it gets perceived as the kids are rebelling against me. But like if you have a son and he's, say, 16 years old, you know, you might perceive it as, oh, he's rebelling against my authority. But see, he's becoming a man. And as a man, he wants to be his own authority. And so he's going to start trying to exert his own independence. This is normal. This is natural. There's not something wrong. I mean, they've got to grow and they've got to mature. They've got to become adults, and we have to accept that. But in the schools, they are going to be constantly giving them a message of rebel against your parents. They give a constant message already that your parents don't know what they're talking about. Listen to us. Listen to our latest thing that we've decided the experts have said. Your parents are destroying the planet with the global climate change. Your parents are homophobes. Your parents, it's, again, a constant temptation. It's on the TV. It's on the computer. They're going to be subjected to this. And I believe the best way to counter that is, again, to have the home be the quiet place. The home be where they can come back and they have that stability. The home be the place they can come back. You know, if they're subjected to, if they go to school and have to listen to all of this crap, the home be where they can come back and say, hey, Dad, you know, you wouldn't believe the crap they came up with at school today. Be like, well, what? Well, they ain't talking about all of this. Oh, you know, it's all white people's fault that the world isn't a utopia. And Dad can be like, oh, that's bullshit, son. And son can be like, yeah, I know. We were all sitting in the back of the class snickering because it's so stupid. It stops their tactic. They need to be able to come home and say, you know, oh, I have all this chaos that I've been exposed to. But when I get home, I know we eat at about this time every evening. We sit together as a family. We talk about our day or whatever. They have that routine. They can detox in the household. Kids need a place they can detox from clown world. It needs to be at home. They need to be detoxing at home. If the home is toxic, then there's no escape for them. And then things can quickly spiral out of control. The children are the crew of the ship. The wife is the executive officer. And the husband is the captain. If things function more or less like this, this is a simplistic way to put it, but this is essentially what God has outlined for us in the owner's manual. If you can make your family function as close to that as you possibly can, then you're going to be in the best position to hold it together for success. As close as we can get to the way God has outlined the natural order for us. And like I say, it's not complicated. It's really not. It's just been there's been so much smoke stirred up, dust stirred up, so much confusion thrown up around us in this world that we lose sight of the basics. We lose sight of what God has established, the natural order. As close as we can get to holding on to that, the better off you're going to be. So as we wrap up, yes, my answer here and what we've discussed today, and hopefully this meant something to somebody, is the answer is simple. Get back to basics. Get back to the natural order of things. It always works out better. Yes, we know we're being constantly inundated with messages to rebel. When a woman hears submit to your husband, she's told by society to have an emotional reaction to rebel against that idea. Submit? What does that mean to submit? You shouldn't have to submit to anybody. And it may sound good, ladies, but it's satanic. It's Satan whispering in your ear. Because if you rebel against your husband, you rebel against what God has established. You are in rebellion against God. Plain and simple. Because you're in rebellion against what God has established. When society says you don't need to submit to your husband. When your friends say, Yoni, what do you mean? What? Huh? You don't have to do anything he says. Satan's talking to you. I think when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Satan's talking to you. He's saying rebel against what God has established. And I can tell you down that road, you'll find nothing but misery. We got to wrap up on that note. Thank you once again for all of you who financially support the show. Thank you for all of you for tuning in and listening. Hopefully you got something out of it. It's always our intention. Don't forget on Fridays, I'm on with Sven Longshanks for the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist Clown World in Review. It's always a fun show. It's only about 30 minutes long. So if you want to catch that, be something you can catch on your lunch break. We always try to keep it, you know, lively and, let's be honest, most of the time, somewhat humorous discussion when possible. So you might want to catch that as well. And of course, as always, you can catch us right back here next Tuesday for the Parish of the Patriots.